You are Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody, and welcome into the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Adam Mattes, today, and actually doing something new today. I'm kind of excited about it. I'm going to take over segments one and two and give you my perspective, a little bit of notebook notes. I went back and rewatched today's game, painful as it was to rewatch, and it was painful. There were some fun parts, to be honest, but it was painful to watch, to have to rewatch that collapse. So I'm going to share my notes in segments one and two in sort of a mini notebook style. And then Matt Moore is going to solo. He's going to send me the audio for segment three, which you'll get his perspective. So rather than us going back and forth, you know, our schedules didn't quite match up tonight, but I thought maybe this will be a cool thing. Get his perspective and mine just a little bit broken up. Today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the auto parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and let them know that Locked On sent you. So first note here, Nuggets snap an 8-game win streak. And it's kind of weird. You know, it's been weeks. It has been weeks since the Denver Nuggets have lost a basketball game. Prior to today's afternoon game. And you knew there was some, I actually, in the pregame, you know, we do the pregame show live on YouTube over at DNVR, and I was sort of, I predicted a loss. I kind of just felt like this was one. When Jamal Murray was announced that he would be out, which was not a surprise, you know, he's missed four games now. The Nuggets go 3-1 of that stretch, which I think is very good. But the Nuggets playing tomorrow, I have a suspicion that Jamal Murray will be back tomorrow. It's rare that you would bring a player back on the front end of a back-to-back just because if they're hobbled, you don't want them. Back-to-backs are really taxing on teams and on players, so you probably wouldn't do that. So I thought, okay, Nuggets, maybe their luck's running a little dry. As good as they have been over the stretch, playing without Jamal Murray really does limit them, especially limits their bench, their ability to sort of stagger and play their best bench lineups. So I thought, okay, this might be one they drop. Plus, you know, the Celtics are good. They're not a great team, but they're a good team, very capable of beating, especially a shorthanded team, especially if some things bounce their way. And that certainly happened tonight. I also, you know, Denver, this is the number one thing that gets overlooked. As much as fans hate when there's big gaps in games, for players, when you start playing 5 games in 7 nights, you know, 9 games in 13 nights, once you start getting to the end of those really condensed parts of the schedule, players just start to look bad and look tired. And I thought this was a game that the Nuggets just looked a little sluggish, especially some of, you look at the shooting tonight, especially from Michael Porter Jr., Paul Millsap. You know, the guys just didn't look like they had a lot of pop to their legs tonight, and I think that had something to do with it. I'm not, by no means an excuse. Denver should have won this game, especially given how much they were up in the final minutes of the third quarter. But this was a game that I just thought coming in, like, I would not be surprised if Denver dropped this one. Early on, though, there were pockets of this game that were so encouraging. Early on, the ball was really popping. It was some of the best, and I think the Nuggets are finding a nice groove. Having Campazzo out there in the starting lineup, when he's good and knocking down shots, and tonight I thought was one of his better games. You know, he's a really, and when the ball gets moving, he's a really good player for ball is popping type basketball because he's capable of running pick and roll. He's capable of making quick reads, secondary playmaking, all of that different stuff. And I thought that was on full display tonight. This was a great Jokic game. If for his MVP candidacy, not that he needs this. I mean, every game's pretty much a great Jokic game, to be honest with you. And on rewatch, I was like, yeah, it's all stuff he always does, guys. You know, just giving him the ball. He's getting a ton of touches in this one. But he looked great. I thought he was making phenomenal reads, getting exactly what he wanted in the half court. And just the ball was really popping in this one. That 4-5 pick and roll, the Nuggets have run it once in every game. I don't think they've run it twice yet. But the 4-5 pick and roll, they have a little play. I don't know what I would call it. Elbow get is the most common name for this type of play, which is you put two guys at the foul line, your 5 and your 4 typically. You know, this is a team that the Cleveland Cavaliers had a lot of success with when LeBron was there. Playing him as sort of a stretch 4-point forward. This is a play that the Milwaukee Bucks have had a lot of success with, running Giannis at the elbow, basically playing power forward or center, because it puts players in a really, really tricky spot when you have a big that can handle the ball. What the Nuggets do is they start, rather than starting with Jokic on the elbow, they start him on the low block and they run a little down screen for him. He comes off of it, catches it at the elbow, and then immediately receives a free throw line screen from the other elbow from Aaron Gordon, who then rolls to the basket. So the Nuggets have been running that play. I would call it elbow get. Maybe you would call it ram ram screen is when a player usually a ram screen would be when a player sets a down screen and then the player receiving the down screen goes up and sets a ball screen. So this is probably not a ram, but I don't know what you call it. I'll just call it elbow get. The Nuggets get this play from Aaron Gordon. They've run it once a game for about five or six games, and I believe they have scored or been fouled on every single one of them, with the lone exception being, you probably don't remember this, a couple games back, Aaron Gordon catches a lob on that gets hacked like crazy, and they just called the ball out of bounds. And it was like one of those ones where you're like, Aaron Gordon looked at the ref like, are you serious, bro? Like, did you not see what just happened? He hacked me. Nonetheless, every time they've run this play, they've gotten a look at the rim that has resulted in free throws or a dunk. So it's one of those plays that Denver could probably run more, but I have a feeling they want to, like, keep it in their back pocket for more important situations. I thought Michael Porter Jr.'s rebounding in this game early on was very good, and he ends up getting a double-double tonight, 11 rebounds, 22 points, 11 rebounds. He was a plus eight. Tonight, I thought his shot selection was probably the worst it has been since he has broken into the main rotation. Meaning, you know, there have been times this, early on in the season where I thought, okay, he doesn't quite know where he fits into the offense. Lately, I thought that has gone away. But over the last three games, I'd have to really look at my notes to see, but last couple games, he started to get further and further away from, you know, playing within the flow of the offense, maybe being a little too early to take some shots early in the shot clock or just out of rhythm. And tonight I thought was like really bad. I mean, on live watch, I watched it and I thought, man, it felt like he was taking a lot of shots. On rewatch, I watched it and it was like, oh man, it was even more than I thought. He probably had seven or eight shots that I would classify as like, if you hit the first one, you get a green light for a second one. You hit the second one, you get a green light. You hit the third one, okay, maybe you just get a green light tonight because you're on fire. If you miss the first one, you probably want to give some air before you take the second one. A guy like Michael Porter, as great of a scorer as he is, he can hit bad shots. He gets the liberty to take a couple per game. You take one and miss, okay, whatever. Maybe next quarter you get to take another one, or maybe the next half or whatever. Feel how the game's going. In this first quarter, I felt like the first shot he took of the game was a little bit rushed. The third shot he took of the game was a little bit rushed. The fourth and fifth shots of the game where he took were a little bit rushed. And one of them, in that first half, he pulls up. We haven't seen Jokic do this for so long. And I think part of why Jokic's frustration level boiled over, there were so many things today. He clearly lost a little bit of focus and got frustrated. And I think at least part of that was with just how the team was playing. Will Barton, him. Guys just not knocking down the shots or even taking the appropriate shots. And there was one play in particular, Michael Porter in transition pulls up, dribbles up the court, pulls up from three, launches, misses. And you see Jokic just do the like slouch where his like arms like just fall to the side and he kind of like rolls his head like, what the heck was that? So Michael Porter been on a tear. I've been singing his praises for the last month and a half. Great player, great shot maker, but his rise as a player is going to be so closely tied to him being able to play within the flow of the offense. Jokic is the greatest gift Michael Porter could have ever asked for. Those early years, doesn't matter who you are, those early years are so hard for you to learn and develop and to become an efficient all-star caliber player. Playing with Jokic is going to expedite that so much for Michael Porter. I know some people think, oh, he's getting held down because he can't be the number one or this or that. I'm telling you right now, so many volume scorers have to go through years of playing on bad teams because being a high volume shooter at efficiency is very hard to do. Michael Porter is in a situation where he gets to be not just a high volume efficient scorer, but one of the most efficient scorers in the NBA. He's up there with Kevin Durant this year. He's up there with Kevin, with anybody in the league, Joe Harris, you name it, Joe Ingles, over the last 6 weeks. In large part because he's played within the flow of the offense. This was a game where I thought that largely escaped him, and as a result, he had one of his worst games of the year, especially from a shooting standpoint. Going to take a break first to tell you about Indeed. I have only used Indeed once at DNVR to hire somebody, and who did we find? None other than our video guy, Aaron, who has been nothing short of fantastic. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3, post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule a complete video interview using the Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy with tools like Indeed's Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description immediately. and Indeed skills tests that on average reduce hiring time by 27%. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined. So if you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. That's Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Also want to tell you about Built Bar, my favorite protein bar, not just because we get some of these sent from, I've actually even ordered them. My dad has ordered them. I've got family members hooked on them right now. They've got 18 amazing flavors, the 12 original. They've also got a whole bunch of new ones. They actually have more than 18 flavors now that I'm reading it, because they keep adding new ones all the time, which is awesome. An expanding company. All of the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to choose. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. They're high protein, low calorie, low sugar, great for the keto diet. And they've got all those great flavors in there. German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, salted caramel, orange, toffee almond, all kinds of good stuff. You want to check them out. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. I thought Jermichael Green, he really makes some bad fouls. If I were to say, like, the culprits of this game when I went back and watched it, the two players I would probably single out the most, I mean, Michael Porter is the easiest because he missed so many shots and he took some bad ones, but I thought he did some really good things defensively, did some really good things on the boards, and, you know, it's not like he didn't score. He still ended up with 22 points, so he gets 9 of 23, a little bit below what he would want. 1 of 12 from 3 obviously really sticks out, but, you know, he was the third guy I would sort of pin this one on, but the top two, to me, are pretty easy, Jermichael Green and Paul Millsap. I thought both of them tonight had really bad games. And when I watched it live, you know, they stood out a little bit. Going back on rewatch, number one, some really, really bad and ones from both guys. Some bad fouls on three-point shooters that were really bad. And just some bad miscues in general. Offensive foul from Jermichael Green, slapping at arms on layups that don't really affect the layup for Paul Millsap. And then both guys just sort of not giving you a lot on the offensive end. You get 1 of 5 from Paul Millsap. You get 1 of 6 from Jermichael Green. 1 of 4 from the three-point line for Green, and they were good looks. Both guys finished a minus 23, and just neither one had it. And I thought, you know, I'm really not a fan of the Jermichael Green-Paul Millsap duo. I don't know why Malone went to it tonight specifically. They have a guy in Tristan Thompson who has some size. They have guys in Robert Williams that can play above the rim. I thought this would have been a really good night to go back to JaVale McGee. So I'm not sure what the thought process was there from a coaching and matchup perspective. But I think more than anything, Malone just wants to reserve the right to experiment with that second unit. But that's an experiment that I think we have the final results back from the lab on that one. It is not great. And I think that, especially when you look at the shooting, the lack of shooting that second unit has, you've got to find ways to space the court by putting pressure on the rim and putting pressure into the paint. And that group just doesn't have a lot of shake to it when you talk about a Monte Morris, who's great, did not have a good night. I mean, you look at it tonight, you run out that lineup. I thought Monte Morris was bad. He goes 1 of 6. Jermichael Green goes 1 of 6. Paul Millsap goes 1 of 6. It's just not a good combo. Even Will Barton, who unfortunately was tasked with having to carry that lineup, he goes 4 of 11. And I don't think it's a coincidence that all the guys who shared minutes on the court with that second unit struggled tonight. It's just not a very good one. So I'm very curious to see where Malone goes to that lineup again, or if he scraps it all together. It's tough. It's easy for us to sit here as analysts and say he need to go away from it. But the simple truth is they brought in Jermichael Green as a key addition this offseason. Paul Millsap has been with this team now for 4 seasons, and he is a guy that Michael Malone trusts, and for good reason. Paul Millsap is – Denver would not be in the position that they are without Paul Millsap. But it's tough because I think the Nuggets now have a lineup that's better, and going away from guys who have sort of earned it through hard work and who have, you know, different – you know, have just the respect and trust of the coach, it's easier said than done. Nonetheless, I think it's probably going to have to happen. What was even weirder was giving Zeke Nagy minutes at small forward, which I actually like. I'm a big fan of trying Zeke Nagy at small forward, in large part because you've got to develop your rookies. You need to give them minutes, and I don't think there's any room inside the front court. I don't think anyone can make a – we're talking about having too many guys. JaVale couldn't even get in tonight. to add another guy to that equation, I just think is too much. But Zeke Nagy, with his footwork on the perimeter, his sort of lack of rebounding at the NBA level, at least so far, and his three-point shot, I think that there's reason to think he could play small forward. I would just like to see him out there alongside, say, Jamichael Green and JaVale McGee, rather than alongside Paul Millsap and Jamichael Green. Nuggets also in that second quarter, another thing that happened, especially with that second unit, you rack up fouls, and I've talked about those dumb ones that were shooting fouls. They put the Celtics in the bonus really early, because I thought Denver first, second, third quarter, when they had that starting lineup out there, absolutely destroyed the Celtics. But you wouldn't necessarily know it just from the plus minus, in part because the Celtics were at the foul line for the entire last, I don't know, 5-6 minutes of the second quarter. And that's the only thing that kept them in it. The Celtics could not buy a bucket in the first half. They really ran cold. Denver ran cold down the stretch, especially Michael Porter, but the Celtics in the first half really ran cold. And I think part of why they were only down 6 points going into the half is because they just were living at the foul line because of all those dumb fouls early. Jokic's third quarter was absolutely brilliant. You know, in the first quarter, he's just dropping dimes everywhere. He had some phenomenal passes. I got to say, the Celtics broadcast, my favorite broadcast. I mean that my favorite. I love Scalabrine. I think he's hilarious. And Gorman has that old school style sound. I mean, he sounds like a Boston guy from the 80s, you know, and he is. I mean, that's actually what he is, a Boston guy from the 80s. But Scal and both of them, Gorman and Scal, both love Jokic. Of course, last time they played, they said, you know, I hate when people make this comparison, but it's true. Jokic really does remind me of Larry Bird. And Celtics fans got so mad at that. But so it tells you, Gorman, a guy who's been a Boston radio guy or a Boston play-by-play guy for decades, to actually say that, it would be like somebody comparing a quarterback to John Elway or a goalie to Patrick Waugh or something like that. That's Larry Bird is Mr. Boston. So for them to say that, they just have so much love for him. And when you watch and listen to that broadcast, the number one thing I like, Scal, he cracks me up. But he laughs so many times during the game whenever Jokic does anything cool. He like he loves it so much, he like just loses control and starts laughing. So if you get a chance, I always listen to the Altitude broadcast live, but when I go back and rewatch it, oftentimes the software that I use that allows me to rewatch games, it's the opposing broadcast, and I just love that one. Jokic was great, though. That third quarter was just a work of art, just doing everything, and it looked phenomenal. Closing the quarter, though, the third quarter with the mini lads, and in fact, the Nuggets went to this a lot. You have Jamichael Green, Paul Millsap, that's bad enough, but then going to Campazzo, Monte, and Dozier all at once, it just compounds things, and that lead just evaporated right away. To end the game, the last thing, you know, Jokic, as brilliant as he was in the first, second, and third quarter, you know, his frustration level boiled over. Maybe he's tired. You know, we talked about this a lot before, those Euro fouls. Where do they come from? Back in the day, he hasn't done a lot of them now, but where did they come from? It might have been fatigue. And Jokic being in better shape, you know, he's done it a little bit less. Maybe all these games in a row, having to carry this team, having to play every single night, you know, maybe that fatigue is starting to get to him, and mentally he's more exhausted and more likely to fly off the handle. It certainly felt that way tonight. Out there. And down the stretch, there's just no other way to put it. Jokic had a little bit of a meltdown. Did he have a reason to be frustrated with the officiating? I think so. I think the Celtics got physical with him all game. There were calls that I went back watching. It's actually funny. The Boston broadcast even called out a couple of them, just like, man, Jokic having a tough time here, having a tough whistle. But down the stretch, the ones with Grant Williams, I didn't think they were that bad. I think Jokic just, from having to be a plus 18, check back into a game that your team is down, despite the fact that you haven't gotten to rest, playing 53 games out of 53 this year, every game having to carry him, I just think he snapped a little bit. The foul calling, the bad shot selection from Will Barton, Michael Porter Jr., and a couple others, all of that stuff, and then you get in there and feel like you're being fouled. He lost it, and I was, you know, it was a little disappointing, if we're being honest. Is it a big deal? No, but I don't think that you can run from the fact that in this game down the stretch, Jokic, you know, he got frustrated and just didn't have it tonight to be able to carry the team to a win against a team that I think Denver, even without Murray, is probably at least as good as. So a tough one. You know, Nuggets' 8-game winning streak comes to an end. They go 8-1 over their last 9. I don't think you can be too upset about it, but I do think that you look at the trends of this game, Michael Porter's shot selection, Jokic's mental and physical fatigue, that bench unit that doesn't make sense. Those are trends that I think you look at and say, okay, how does Murray's return affect those things? And is this a trend that continues or is it something that they learn from and move on? Not a lot of time to think about it. Back in action tomorrow on ESPN against the Golden State Warriors, and that's what I got for you today. We're going to take our last break. On the other side, though, Matt Moore is going to hop on and give his perspective on the game. Curious to hear if it's same, similar to mine or different. We'll find out together. Final break here, and I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, NHL, baseball, they're in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert, and don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON.
Welcome back to Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining us, making this part of your day. I'm Matt Moore with this final segment. Adam was kind enough to let me have a segment to give you my thoughts on the game. You've had what Adam thought of the debacle versus Boston, and now I'll give you some of my thoughts. We've got 10 quick things to just kind of run through as we get you set for tomorrow and the Warriors game, which hopefully will be less depressing and anxiety-inducing amongst Nuggets fans who flipped out after this game. Which is why, number one, we're going to start with perspective matters here, guys. Okay, the Nuggets won 8 straight. The Nuggets have been lights out. They won 17-20. The Nuggets have been dominant. The Nuggets have been on this great winning streak. The Nuggets are still a great team. The Nuggets had a really terrible half. They had a really terrible half that was bad in all sorts of ways, and there's lots of blame to go around, and it was a bad loss, but it was still just a regular season loss to a non-conference opponent. Ultimately, this game doesn't really change much of anything. The Blazers lost on Sunday. The Mavericks lost on Sunday. Guess what? The Nuggets didn't really lose much in the way of standing from this game. They're still right where they were before this game happened. Was it a good loss? Certainly not. It was a terrible loss. But it's important to note this team has been really great, that they were playing six game in nine nights, that they were without Jamal Murray. This team, the entire thing that started this entire collapse, the bench is not necessarily as much of a problem in 30 days in the playoffs start. You have a bad month and then the playoffs begin and you don't have to worry about making it through 16 minutes a game. We're about making it through 8 minutes a game with the bench, and that will be staggered and a lot better. So it's important to keep perspective. Don't be calling for Michael Malone's head or for firing Paul Millsap into the sun or any of these other things. Like, Michael Malone is still the coach that got you this point, right? Paul Millsap is still a guy that played really well to start the season. And while we'll talk about him in a minute, I think you do have to start reexamining his role. You still need to not overreact to these things and blame it all on one guy, because this was a collective failure. Everybody failed, including the starters in this game. Number two, yes, it was a predictable outlier, but still an outlier. Look, guys, like the Denver Nuggets scored 8 points in the fourth quarter. Like, if you told me that was going to happen all year, I would have said no. I would have honestly said it did not happen unless you were like, will they ever score specifically 8 points? And then I would have been like, oh, you said that specifically because they did it once. But in general, like, look, this is a hyper outlier. They only lost the third quarter by a point, guys. Like, a point. Everything was fine until the fourth. And then they just had a bad quarter. They really had a bad quarter, and that was it. And it was such a bad quarter that I think you have to look at as an outlier. Look, it wasn't just the offense. The defense had problems. They did give up 31 in that fourth quarter. But you also had, in this game, it wasn't just Paul Millsap shot 1 of 5. It was Jamichael Green shot 1 of 6 and 1 of 4 from three. Monte Morris shot 1 of 6 and didn't get a three-pointer off. Michael Porter Jr. didn't shoot well. Like, if you're going to score 8 points, nobody shoots well. Everything happened at once. It was an outlier performance. Could you see it coming with how the bench has struggled? For sure. But that's one of the consequences of trading for Aaron Gordon, is you've kind of reconfigured things and you have different things you're trying to manage on the perimeter and on the interior, and that was part of it. This was still an outlier game. And if you replay that quarter, 9 out of 10 times Nuggets win. They didn't win this one, and that's how it goes. But it was still an outlier performance. Number three, Jokic can't lose it like that. Jokic wasn't the reason they lost, okay? There was a whole lot of blame to go around in this one. Joker getting so frustrated that he has to be benched is a problem. Jokic sitting apart from his teammates as Gary Washburn took a photo of on Twitter during hot timeouts. Not okay. I'm understanding of it. I'm not like ripping him apart. This isn't like game three versus the Jazz. He has been so good this year that I'm totally willing to give him a day. Like, had a bad day. Totally get it. Back to work tomorrow. He's having to shoulder a lot this year. Whether it was the calls frustrating him, and I don't know how to solve that, or the bench failures, then either way, you can't still respond that way. Like, you are the franchise. You're the MVP. You can't be acting like that. It's just not doable, no matter how frustrated you are. This is what the burden comes. This is what the money's for. The max money that Nikola Jokic got, this is what it's for. Okay. He may not want all of the star stuff and everything else, but he did want the money, and this is what the money is for. So as much as everybody wants to be like, yeah, but he's right. Okay. That's fair, but you have to rise above it. That's your job. And he needs to still be engaged. I don't think Malone should have sat him. I think Malone needs to take another fine in the post game. I think he thought that the technical getting ejected would do it, but it didn't. He needs to go ahead, and the front office needs to say, yeah, go out there and bury the officials post game and take the fine and we'll pay it. And that's what needs to happen. But can't be losing your head like this. It's a tough season. Everybody's tired. Everybody's worn out. You got a month to go. I get it. 6 games, 9 nights, no Jamal. I understand. Can't happen. Like, it's just a, I said on Twitter that it was concerning. And the reason it's concerning is, I think it's less of a concern in terms of like, will Jokic do this again? And more from the perspective of either the officials are becoming such a problem that he doesn't know what else to do and he can't fight through it. Or two, if it's the bench, then that's a sign that like Jokic is demanding, like he's acting up to get something changed. And I don't know what that he wants, but it's a problem. So Jokic just can't do that. That can't happen with Joker. And I don't think it will. Number four, Jamal Murray matters. If you have Jamal Murray to start that fourth quarter and he staggers with the bench unit, then they get some buckets. Like, the offense dies. Jamal Murray goes out there specifically and picks up some buckets. You play small and you want to switch everything. Jamal Murray cooks you one-on-one. He's the one guy on this team that is better equipped to do that than anything. So Jamal Murray matters a lot in this loss. He warmed up in the last game and he warmed up before this game. I'm honestly a little surprised that he didn't play in this game. I'm not saying that he could have, like the training staff felt that he shouldn't play. Fair enough. I would be surprised if he didn't play tomorrow to get them back on track. I do kind of wonder though, that this training staff was like, I think we can give him like one more day. So we can just give him like one more day and then he doesn't have to play on the back-to-back and all of these things. And they thought they could buy time to get Murray back and they couldn't. Everything that had been building caught up with them. So Jamal Murray matters a lot when you reflect on this loss. For as much as you want to blame everybody, and there's a lot of blame to go around, you got to keep in mind that Jamal Murray, the Nuggets second best player, did not play. Number five, the bench stagger issue. So this is the problem I have here is Malone started the year and there were a lot of times when he would play Jokic to start the second quarter. And those units ran great. The second unit with Jokic plays great because everybody plays well with Jokic. He went away from that. And now he plays Jokic the entire first quarter, sits him to start the second, and then brings him back in between, you know, like the 6 and the 5 mark, and then repeats it in the second half or with around like the 8 minute mark if the game's still competitive. You need to be able to stagger things a little bit more fluidly, whether it's Jokic or maybe like, you know, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., somewhat like you didn't trade for Aaron Gordon for him just to play next to Jokic. You should be able to play him in some of the units and like, look, he can score on his own a little bit, could use a little bit more touches, you know, and if Michael Porter Jr. wants to shoot that much, probably needs to shoot, you know, with the bench unit a little bit more, if that's where the issue kind of arises. Number six is MPJ's restraint. I'm sure Adam went over this, but not good shot selection. It looked like he was trying to prove a point after the Celtics game. Also looked like Harrison Wynn noted this after he dunked the ball in the first quarter, he hurt his hand and it very much looked like that bothered him. Like he just did not look the same afterwards. And I wonder if he just like sprained his hand. I don't anticipate it being like a huge deal. Hopefully he didn't break anything. We would have probably heard something by now if he had. I'm assuming he didn't suffer any sort of injury, but that seemed to be a part of an issue. But MPJ, this is the first game I think where MPJ really kind of was pressing the issue. The Nuggets were trying to be so aggressive that they wound up hurting themselves. It worked in the first quarter and they kept trying to go back to that mindset and they needed to settle in a little bit more. Number seven, bench counter matchups. So here's where I put the blame on Malone for the collapse. Everyone just wants to say that Jamichael Green and Paul Millsap can't work. We'll get to that in a second. This was not the game to do it in. So the Celtics went small and started switching everything. And the counter, if a team goes small, is not to go smaller and try and counter them, especially with what the Nuggets have. It's to go bigger. Like, this was the game to play JaVale. If Malone puts JaVale McGee back on the court in the fourth quarter, if he tries him out in the fourth quarter, then immediately the Celtics are going to go, Grant Williams is going to get eaten alive on the boards. Let's get Robert Williams back in. And then when Jokic comes back in, guess what? Robert Williams is versus Jokic, and Robert Williams did a much worse job on Jokic than Grant Williams did. Going small really helped him. Williams held his own in the post, frustrated Jokic. Smaller guys get away with more contact. They get away with more fouls. I'm sure that that's something that, that bugged Adam as a big man, but it's true in the NBA, and it definitely happened in this one. Grant Williams was a plus 30 in a season where he's been very poor. I think they should have gone to JaVale if, in this game specifically. Don't try and get into a switch match with the Celtics. That's what they want. Number 8 is working through the issues. I tried to make this point on Twitter. For as bad as the Green Millsap lineups are, and they are terrible, you need to work through them. I don't know how to tell people this, but Paul Millsap is still a better player than JaVale McGee. I'm sorry, guys. He's a better player still. Even for all of his problems, he's still a better player. He's always been a better player. He will always be a better player. I think JaVale can be helpful for this team in certain situations. I like the move. He's very situationally helpful, but you need to be able to play Jamichael Green and Paul Millsap. They kept both those guys. They have both those guys. Those guys are better. They need to be able to play together. This is one of the consequences of the trade. And Malone's clearly struggling with it. He doesn't know how to make it work. I think you can change up the wing rotations to give him some more help. I think playing, you know, when Jamal Murray's back, playing Monte Morris with Murray next to those two will probably open things up. That lineup will probably work. But some of this is, you can't just look at every combination that struggles and go, don't ever do that again. It doesn't work. You have to work through these problems. Jamichael Green and Paul Millsap have not played together enough to know whether that's just completely not going to work. You need to give it time. And they're trying to work through those problems. This is the difference between, I think, fans and the coaching staff in the regular season is the fans want wins. So they're like, that doesn't work. So never do it. Never, ever do it because it's bad. And instead, the coaching staff is like, okay, this is bad. We need to figure out how to make this work because this is important to us. These guys got to get minutes. So that's the differential, is like the difference. And look, I've been a part of the other one where I'm like, you just can't play this. Look at the numbers. They're so bad. You have to work to improve those things and find solutions for the problem rather than just abandoning it altogether. Number 9 is just Paul Millsap. He's got to have a less of a role, and I hate saying that, but it's getting tougher and tougher to find matchups where he does excel. I still kind of think that he'll probably have some games in the playoffs where I'll get to strut a little bit and talk about, oh, you guys like Paul Millsap now, huh? But look, it's obvious, and I think that regular season is getting tougher and tougher for him. Young legs. He needs to be in only in situations where he's absolutely necessary. He needs to be the alternate. He needs to be the go-to, like, hey, let's bring in Millsap and see if his savvy and physicality can change things up. And number 10 is 24 hours. The Nuggets play again in 24 hours from when they lost this game. They'll play Golden State, and it should be an exciting game. It's on ESPN. And they have another opportunity to get this right. Malone said after the game, you know, sometimes, like, the best thing about the NBA is that you're always going to be playing somebody else within 2 days, and they're playing somebody else tomorrow. And if they get that win, then everyone can just sell down. This was a bad game. It revealed some things about the bench unit that are concerning in the regular season. But the same thing remains true from before this game as after. The Nuggets are still exceptionally dangerous and are well primed for a playoff run in the Western Conference. Thanks for joining us on Locked On Nuggets. Hope you guys have had a great weekend. Excited to start the week with you. Things will turn around, I promise. And we'll talk more. We'll have you covered. We'll talk after the Warriors game. Thanks for joining us on Locked On Nuggets.